passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone. This week, we're doing kind of a different show. I'm having my regular, my semi-regular co-host, Matt Connerton, is joining me tonight for a special on some perspectives on a Trump presidency. Matt, are you there?
I sure am.
There you go. So, I have been putting this out, and I'm going to repeat this right now at the beginning of the show, which is that this is a call-in show. You're welcome to call in. No bashing allowed, though. Any bashing, and you're gone. This is about what President-elect Trump has said he's going to do, and what does that mean to the American people. You with me, Matt?
I am.
Yep.
You've now entered the no-bash zone as a...
The no-bash zone. Well, you know, I mean, did I think that this was going to happen? No. And would it have been my first choice? No. However, this is what we have right now. And I want to be talking to people about, I want us to be talking about what's going to happen next. Let's stay focused. We can't do Sunday morning quarterback anymore. So I have the list. I know that you have the list of first things that he's going to say, that he said he's going to do. I am going to tell people, I want to remind people, they can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and they can post comments there, which we will share with the audience. They can call in and be on air live with us at 202-570-7057. They can also contact you, Matt, directly. And what's that? Where would they send a message to that would go to you instead of me?
Oh, you can, well, of course, there's Facebook. I'm on Facebook, Matt Connerton. And, of course, let's see, you can tweet me at Matt Connerton. You can email me, matt@ipmnation.com.
Okay. Well, I know that they can get you live. Like they can get me, but anyways, we're gonna move right along. So,
oh, were you referring to my show? What do you mean?
Well, when we're on air, we're simulcast through IPM Nation, right?
Oh yes, of course, yeah.
So yeah. For the people.
Yeah, we have. I didn't realize that's what you meant. Yeah, we have the chat room at IPMNation.com.
So they can also reach us through that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, we've put all of that stuff there. And so let's get started with the show. A little bump start there, a couple of different things. So first of all, I want to look at, I'm going to be posting on the timeline, his proposal by his proposal. So people that are wondering what we're talking about, they can go to facebook.com and they can see it. So this comes right off what Trump said he was going to do. So I'm going to ask you before we start this, what do you think is the overall greatest pro and the greatest con of a Trump presidency?
Okay. Well, yeah, that's a big question. I think as far as the greatest pro, it may be that, maybe what some people say, some pro-Trump people say about, you know, him being the outsider that we need to come in and really kind of shake things up and break the system and whatnot. Maybe he really is that guy. You know, I don't know. But, you know, he's kind of a blank canvas in a lot of ways. I know he tried to present himself as a conservative to win the nomination, but I suspect he's... not really much of a conservative, not particularly ideological, which is good, that he's not. I prefer, you know, a practical pragmatist as opposed to an ideologue. So there are some potential pros there. And he's already softening on some things that I thought were, you know, not the best ideas to begin with, you know, kind of talking about maybe reforming Obamacare instead of an outright repeal. You know, he seems to be softening on the wall, this wall he wants to build and whatnot. So there's some optimism on my part there. As far as cons, things I don't like, there's this rumor about talk of a, you know, possible Muslim registry, which I don't think would ever happen because the public outrage would be far too great. John Bolton is being considered for Secretary of State. You know, he is a neocon. I just was looking at something. He's calling for regime change in Iraq. crazy stuff. He wants to walk away from the Paris Accord, just like W walked away from Kyoto. There are some good things and some bad things, but there's a lot of question marks. And so I'm trying to be optimistic about it. This is what we've got, and I'm trying to be hopeful. But I don't like John Bolton. I don't like Steve Bannon. I'm trying to be very, very cautiously optimistic about this.
So with you being very optimistic about this.
Cautiously.
cautiously optimistic. Well, and, yeah. You know, that's why I wanted to go over the list, because I really believe that there is a whole set of people out there that are just completely either madly in love or madly in hate with Trump and aren't really understanding a lot of what he's saying is going to be the story. Mm-hmm. And I think that people, I'm hoping that this is going to actually make people pay attention more, maybe sit up and not be quite so complacent.
I can tell you, I don't know if you're aware of this, Dr. Kevin, but here in New Hampshire, where of course we both are, there were communities running out of ballots on election day. There were a lot of same day registrations and whatnot. So at least where we are geographically, people seem to be very, very interested in this fast election. So, not necessarily the correct people based on who you would have preferred, but people were definitely interested and wanting to be involved. So I think you have reason to be hopeful that people are paying more attention.
People at least paid attention more in some of the highest numbers we've seen in a long time for coming to the polls. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I think a message of I'm going to clean up the swamp of Washington probably increased the numbers more than any other single message that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already said on my TV show and I've said on my radio show before, and you and I are going to be doing a surviving the Trump presidency, because that's what a lot of people feel like they're going to have to do. And that may be what some people have to do that voted for him, that don't really understand all of what he's trying to do. So we're going to be taping that and releasing that next week. And we're going to be going over some of the same things, and we're going to see how much stuff we can actually get covered. So his first proposal, you ready? He said his first proposal was a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all members of Congress. Term limits, pro, con, what do you think? And will he get away with it?
I used to be in favor of term limits. I thought it was a great idea. I'm not so sure it actually solves anything. You know, you can term limit people out of their position, but you know, it's only the people who are elected. The bureaucrats, you know, who are in charge of you know, making rules and whatnot are still going to be there no matter what. So I'm not sure term limits actually solves anything. Nor do I think that this is going anywhere. You cannot expect Congress to vote itself out. So it's not going to happen. And a constitutional amendment is so difficult to do anyway. Nice idea, a pipe dream. But it sounds good, I guess. But it's not going anywhere.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we're challenging everything and everyone. This is a live call-in show now. You can call in at 202-570-7057 and speak with Matt or myself. Matt is on air with me this week talking about putting a Trump presidency in perspective. We're reviewing the stuff over his first 100 days. No bashing allowed. This is about what he says he's going to do and whether he will actually do it or how can he get away with it. Does he even have the power to do some of the things he's talking about doing? You can weigh in also at facebook.com/mydrkevin. We are posting some of the things that were actually on his list that came out, just in case you're not sure, as we are talking about this. So you don't think that he can get away with doing term limits, Matt? You're not sure that he should? I'm a big favor of term limits. I think that that's one of the early ways to get some more movement in Congress, because sometimes people just get elected because they know that their person, even if they don't particularly agree much with that person, gives them prestige because they're so far up. I mean, think of Strom Thurmond, who was there for, what, 50 years or something? I mean, they had to wake him up to vote. But he was very powerful snoozing because he had just been there so long and he had it everything. And You know, the same thing with the guy from North Carolina. I can't even think of his name anymore. But, I mean, I don't think this should be a lifetime appointment, you know? I mean, I think that there are places in Congress where there, you know, you start to confuse them on both sides with royalty. Like, you know, it's almost impossible to get rid of them.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. But the one thing I would say, though, is, you know, you can, if voters will become more active and more involved and more informed, then they can use that power to vote out somebody without having to use term limits. And we have seen over the past few years people who thought that they were safe in terms of winning the nomination, you know, and then they get primaried, you know, because that's a verb now. Somebody gets primaried out. So I think even without term limits, you can accomplish that. But I think it's up to the voters to kind of take back their power on that. But it's never going to happen anyway. So the term limits, I mean.
So do you think that Trump just said this because he knew it would please the people that voted for him but knew it was never going to happen? Or do you think that he thinks he's going to have enough power to actually do it?
No. I think it's just feel-good stuff. Not only for the people who voted for him, but, of course, for the people who didn't vote for him. It's the kind of thing that makes everybody feel good, you know. Oh, term limits. He must really care, you know, about cleaning house or draining the swamp or whatever phrase he used. But no, it's not. It's not a serious proposal from him. It's just feel good stuff. He knows it's impossible.
Well, he's not a political, I mean, he's not an inside the Washington Beltway political person either. He might think that he can do it if he's got all this, you know. And when the funny thing is every time you hear him talk, he says he has all this popularity, but we all know he lost the popular vote.
Correct. That is very true.
He does have both houses at least for 2 years.
Very true, yeah.
So the second one was a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce federal workforce through attrition, exempting military, public safety, and public health. We've frozen federal employees before. What do you think? Is it going to do anything? Is it good? Is it bad?
Probably, you know, as someone who's I'm a small government guy, and I do think government's wasteful and whatnot, so I'm fine with that. Something you can probably do pretty easily by executive order. I mean, you can do almost anything by executive order, but of course, you get challenged on it. But I don't think anyone will challenge him on it. There's certainly not a Republican-controlled Congress. So that's fine. I have no problem with that one.
My issue with it, in concept, I have no problem on it. My thing is that it's a slight little bit too black and white, because there are some positions, and I know people that work in the government, where somebody retires out of a position and there's nobody qualified to take it, or it has a certain amount of degrees or background or things. And so I think that, you know, overall, I'm in favor of it. I'm in favor of the fact that we need to make for a smaller government. But I have seen this in practice in the past, where you've almost crippled departments because there are just key players. And so I think that they have to establish essential positions that must be filled. Mm-hmm. But I think that that has to be done very judiciously. Like, there has to be a really good case. And of course, now then you start getting into all of the, you know, who's greasing whose palms, but still, I've seen the downside of it. Do we need a smaller government? Yes, but can we just automatically say, boom, you just don't rehire somebody when they leave? I think we have to look at positions.
Sure. But any kind of exception like that can be written into any executive order, or he can issue a new executive order saying, well, we need to revise the original executive order. I mean, that can all be worked around. But I think in principle, it's a good idea.
You see, except for military, public safety, and public health. So if something happened and we got rid of the president, he doesn't fall in any of those three categories. Could we just consider that part of the freeze?
He's military. He's a commander in chief.
Oh, how about if we got rid of Congress that way? That's certainly not, it has nothing to do with public safety, and they're very much against public health because the health of most Americans are worse because of them.
I'd be a little bit careful, Dr. Kevin. This kind of talk, you're going to have an issue getting on a plane. Next time you're in an airport, you say stuff like that. You're talking about getting rid of people.
Okay. Third, a requirement that for every new federal regulations, two existing regulations must be eliminated.
Love it.
Okay.
I love it. That one's great.
Okay. The thing is, how do we determine which regulations are going and make sure that it isn't all, all pro-corporation, anti-environment?
Well, that's the one bad thing. I mean, you know, let me amend what I said. I love it if it's applied correctly. Obviously, a policy like this could be very easily misused. So I love it as long as it's used correctly, and we'll have to see. But God knows, I mean, in any facet, even I'm sure there's environmental regulations that are outdated and arcane and useless. I'm sure there's in any category you could name, there's probably regulations that could be struck down that are completely unnecessary. So I'm gonna be optimistic about this one. I like the idea.
Okay, so you're mezza on the first one, and I'm pro. We both, with stipulations, like the second one and the third one, but we're more pro than con, definitely.
Mm, yes.
A 5-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government service.
Love it. Great idea.
Now, he says that, of course, you know, he hired a bunch of lobbyists, but his thing was, because that's all you can get in Washington right now, and you got to clean out the system, you got to start with the people who are in the know. And, of course, no one's going to set themselves up to get eliminated. So, I mean, he's going to have a battle on his hand. But the other thing is, that a lot of people don't register as lobbyists, but they will list themselves as special consultants. So is this again I'm going to look like I'm cleaning out Washington, but there's a back door there? Should those somehow be included? Like, cannot be or work for in any capacity? Is the law is that strong enough?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, it may need to be. I mean, I'm sure that once it, you know, if he's going to do an EO on it, or once it's written down in whatever form it is, I'm sure it'll be much wordier and beefed up to address those concerns. I would hope so, anyway. But I think it's a great idea.
Okay. Six, a complete ban on foreign lobbyists raising money. Oh, no, sorry. Five, a lifetime ban on White House officials lobbying on behalf of a foreign government.
Love it. I'm loving a lot of this. See, this is why I'm cautiously optimistic. Don't get me wrong. We're going to get to some stuff I hate. But so far, this is pretty good stuff.
Well, you know.
And, I hope he means it.
You know, it's all the lens that you look through on this stuff. I have nothing. I mean, I think that anybody that has had the inside knowledge of our government should not be working for a foreign government.
Right.
On for behalf. That's yeah. Way too murky. That's way too muddy. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean when Trump leaves presidency, he's going to be held accountable to not be forwarding Putin's agenda, because those two are pretty cuddly in a double bed right now.
Well, we'll see how cuddly they are after inauguration day.
Okay.
That's gonna be interesting.
Yep. A complete ban on foreign lobbyists raising money for American elections.
You already know what I'm going to say. I love it. That's absolutely. I completely agree.
Okay. So this is the first section, and I know the music's going to be coming on any second. This is the first. He had three sections he did. We managed to get through the first section of what he was going to do. In the first section, with a couple of stipulations, we're completely in agreement with him.
Yeah, it's good stuff so far.
We'll be right back.
Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone. We are a live call-in show. You can be calling us in and being part of this conversation at 202-570-7057. You can also come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. And I am listing the first 100 days. I'm going to try to go back, or I'm going to invite Matt to go back, my co-host for the day, Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, and actually put our comments underneath here of where we were coming up, thumbs down on these things to see where. Now, I've got an interesting question for you. Looking at just the first six things that we've talked about, is Trump coming across as more of a Republican or a Libertarian here?
Well, if I have to pick between those two, I would say Republican, because Libertarians tend to not like a lot of rules. You know, he's making a lot of new rules here. Now, one thing that is somewhat Libertarian sounding, of course, is that for every new regulation, they have to strike down two, but even that isn't really that Libertarian, because a Libertarian would say, how about we start striking down regulations, but don't make any new ones? So, no, I don't think he's, but I don't know, I mean, if any of this is particularly Republican either. It's there's really nothing partisan about it. You know what I mean?
Okay. And so how would you list it? Certainly not Democratic.
No, I don't think I'd put a partisan label on any of this so far.
Okay. Which is what you say your show is.
My show, yeah. I mean, I
well, you say your approach is...
Yeah, practical pragmatism, not ideology.
Yes, practical pragmatism. So, okay, yeah. So we're going to continue on. On the same day, he says, I will begin taking the following 7 actions to protect American workers. I will announce my intentions to renegotiate NAFTA or withdraw from the deal under Article 20. What do you think?
Well, you know, I say if he can renegotiate NAFTA in our favor, I say how about it? I'm always skeptical when I hear him say it because he makes it sound easy. I mean, not that it would be easy necessarily, but he makes it sound like it's going to be easy for him because this is just what he does, and he's this genius business guy, and he's just going to do it, and it's going to be great. It's going to be huge. So I'm always skeptical when I hear him talk about that, renegotiating trade deals. But if he can do it, great. You know, if he can do anything in that vein that's in our favor, then fantastic. Go for it.
Okay, and do you think that this is something that, do you think that NAFTA was a sellout of the Americans and the American workers? Because he's talking about,
you know,
he will renegotiate or he will walk away from it.
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, I tend to be very pro-free trade. As far as NAFTA specifically, I don't feel like I know enough about the minutia to really... I don't myself have a firm opinion one way or the other. I mean, you can go online as I have and read pro NAFTA articles by some economists and anti NAFTA articles by others. And I feel a little out of my depth on it. So I don't personally have an opinion about NAFTA itself, but, you know, like I say, if someone can take it and renegotiate something that's better for us, then have at it. But I don't really myself have a position, a firm position on NAFTA itself.
Okay. So you're kind of like, hey, if you can make it better, great. The question
exactly.
is, what is better? Better
well,
for...
I think better...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, better is anything that improves trade for us so that we can export more goods and create jobs and... you know, if there's tariffs associated with us, with other countries, you know, with, well, of course, NAFTA, of course, it's us and Canada and Mexico. So, I mean, if there's tariffs involved in consumers from those countries, purchasing goods made in America in terms of us exporting them and those can be reduced, that's great, you know, so, that's going to help our economy and American workers and whatnot and create jobs. So, I mean, I understand that much, though my understanding of it, again, is not in any way in depth. But, you know, if it creates jobs, it's an improvement. So, because one of the things that the anti-NAFTA people like Trump and others will always say is, actually, if you remember back in 92, Ross Perot warned about NAFTA, and he said there would be this giant sucking sound. He kept using that phrase of American jobs being sucked out of the country. And, you know, if you listen to the anti-NAFTA people, he was right. So.
Okay. So you're going to say on this, yes, that if you can get a better deal, it's a good thing.
Yep. Show us what you can do, Donald. I mean, Mr. President.
Well, it
is. Be respectful.
It is president-elect right now.
President-elect, yes. He's our first orange American. Our first orange American present. Very exciting.
Okay. Well, I'm also, you know, I look at the current condition of the American worker right now, and something has obviously gone wrong. So if he can renegotiate it, then I'm all for it. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
He will withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Well, you know, I'd like to know what's in it and why we're not allowed to know, and why most of the people in Congress aren't even allowed to know what's in the TPP, unless they go to this special room where apparently they can read it if they want to, but they're not allowed to write anything down or take any pictures or anything. So I'm a transparency guy. I don't want us getting into anything or committing to anything that we're not supposed to know the details of. So I say, fine, yeah, I'll withdraw. Kill it. I don't care. I want to know what's in it. If I can't know what's in it, then I don't think, you know, because obviously if we're not allowed to know what's in it, there's something in it that is going to make us all very upset if we do know. And if that's the case, then why are we in it? Except to benefit someone else other than the American people.
Okay. And, you know, again, I think that a lack of transparency on the form of from the perspective of our government, you know, if it's good for America, if it's good for the people, why aren't the people being told? I mean, you know, this is a little too X-Files for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay. So on the next one, third, I will direct my Secretary of Treasury to label China a currency manipulator.
This, I feel like I don't know enough about this. Trump has talked about it a lot, and it's one of those things I mean to read up on and haven't yet, because I would like to understand it a little better. I can tell you one thing. I get nervous about provoking China on these things, because I do know that they own much of our debt. So I tend to feel like we should be a little bit careful. So I don't know. This one makes me a little nervous. And I don't know what exactly labeling them a currency manipulator does. But I don't want them too upset with us. You know what I mean?
Well, and, you know, you and I both, you know, I talked to you about this before, which was, I find it very interesting, because you have China and Russia at odds with each other, and we have the whole, like, the breaking of the Russian treaty and the moving into the Ukraine and, you know, the whole breaking of, you know, the Russia behind the breaking in with WikiLeaks and stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff that to suddenly come out in your first 100 days and say you're going after China does kind of make it look like you might be a little bit in Russia's pocket, because Russia would love nothing more than to have it be Russia and the U.S. pairing off against China. So, I don't know. I mean,
well, I don't know, though. Yeah, but we don't. We never really know Putin's intentions or motivations either. So I don't know. But it does make me nervous. Of course, Trump would probably say we're saying it wrong. It's pronounced China.
China.
That's how he says it. China.
Okay. So.
That's how the orange people say it.
You better be very careful. because using the term orange people and China in the same sentence could get you a big old politically correct slap across the face if somebody's not listening carefully.
That's a very good point.
Just so you know.
That's true. That's true.
And with the right amount, and sometimes when he kind of like crinkles and makes faces, his eyes do look a little slanted.
Yeah, he's got those beady little eyes, doesn't he?
He's got a lot of beady things, but you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so here is his fourth. I will direct the Secretary of Commerce and U.S. Trade Representative to identify all foreign trading abuses that unfairly impact American workers and direct them to use every tool under American and international law to end those abuses immediately. What do you
think? Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that sounds great. Should do that.
And we'll be right back.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, hello, hello. And we're running through this as fast as we can because we're here this week with Matt Carnerton from IPM Nation and Matt Carnerton Unleashed and myself discussing Donald Trump's first days of presidency, what he says he's going to do, and what does it mean to the American people. So we're going to... continue with the list. We were talking about the abuses of trading and foreign trading abuses. Obviously, if there's foreign trading abuses, that's one that I want a little bit more information on because, what are you defining as an abuse versus the game you have to play if you want to be part of the world? I don't want America to go imperialistically arrogant. We are the power of the world. That's going to get us. That's going to get one of the nutcases with a finger and a button and a nuclear weapon to push it. There is a certain amount of diplomacy and there's a certain amount of stuff. And, you know, maybe there was a time when there was a far less armed world and we could bully people, but that's not now. Now there's more nutcases with nuclear access than Carter has liver pills.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one I'm concerned about we can't go to John Wayne here. We still have to live in this world. But that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, but I think we're going to get that. We're going to get that sort of John Wayne attitude to some extent with Trump anyway. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay. He will lift the restrictions on. He will lift the restrictions on $50 trillion worth of job-producing American energy reserves, including shale oil, natural gas, and clean coal. So, in other words, screw the environment. That's how I read that. What do you think? Thoughts?
Yeah, it feels like going backward. You know, I mean, I obviously creating jobs. This is what we're going to get. What's that?
Okay. I don't know. It went completely quiet on me for a minute, and I don't know why, because I'm completely wired up to internet and phone, and but I didn't hear everything you said, but the listening audience did.
Yes.
So this, I take it, again, is this is one of the ones when you're like, no, I'm not happy about.
Yeah.
Yep.
I certainly have some ambivalence.
Well, I think that you know, there's got to be a balance, and maybe we have gone a little out of balance somewhere. Maybe we haven't balanced it enough. I'm sure that there are people that are going to scream when I say that. But on the other hand, we do have to have jobs, and we do have to have an economy, and we do have to have, you know, other things. So next one, and these are all under Trump protecting the American worker. That was the title of this section.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this was lift the Obama-Clinton roadblocks and allow vital energy infrastructure projects like the Keystone Pipeline to move forward.
Well, that really, I mean, that just relates to the fifth one there. Same thing, you know.
Okay.
Screw the environment.
Okay. So, but, you know, now I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this to both of us. I'm saying it to me as well, which is we can't have it both ways. And I'm not about screwing in the environment. And I'm all about protecting the environment. But we do have to do stuff to get more jobs in this country. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We can't have the number of people that we do. And not everybody can be sent back to college or to college. Not everybody can do tech stuff. Not everybody can do, you know, what's required. I think there are other issues that need to be looked here that I'm not sure that he's getting to. But those so this was the last of his Trump protecting the American worker. Cancel billions in payments to UN climate change program and use money to fix America's water and environmental infrastructure.
Well, I'm all about fixing infrastructure. This is one that I need to learn a little bit more about. I mean, I don't like the idea of walking away from things that we've committed to in terms of the environment and, you know, trying to slow down climate change and whatnot. But I don't know. But at the same time, I don't have a whole lot of faith. Like when I hear we're paying billions of dollars to these UN climate change programs, I want to know more about that. I want to know what these UN climate change programs are, and are they actually doing anything, and are we just throwing money into some sort of bureaucracy, some sort of global bureaucracy via the UN that doesn't actually accomplish anything? So I'd like to know more about that.
Okay. Well, and we're taping, and we're doing the Surviving the Trump Pregnancy. Presidency. You didn't know Donald was pregnant, huh? Yeah, I hate,
well,
I hate
you know,
when it breaks the news. It's Hillary's love child.
I thought he was just looking a little paunchy, but you know, in the campaign. Ah. But, if he's carrying, well, good. Congratulations to him.
So Let's move on to the next one. And this is his, he'll take the following five actions to restore security and constitutional law, and the rule of constitutional law. So this is how he says it. This is what he says he's going to do. Let's see how far we get on this before we run out of time, because I bet we're not going to get very far. And what I'm going to do is I am putting all of these on my Dr. Kevin, and I put basically a little kind of sort of whether we agreed or didn't agree on with each other or with Trump on it. I'm going to put the rest of them on, and Matt, I'm going to ask you to go on and weigh in on them before we go to tape Monday's show.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're all there, each one individually. So he's going to cancel. These are his words. I will cancel every unconstitutional executive action, memorandum, and order issued by President Obama.
Well, unfortunately, when speaking of executive orders, the word unconstitutional itself really is kind of meaningless, because it's become a partisan term. When you have a Democratic president, any executive orders a Democrat president signs, Republicans automatically scream that it's unconstitutional. And when you have a Republican president, the same thing happens. Any EOs a Republican president does, you have Democrats screaming that they're unconstitutional. So I assume when Trump says any unconstitutional executive actions, he really just means anything that he and or Republicans don't like, he'll cancel it. Which he will have the power to do. I imagine a lot of it will be regulation that he just wants to go away. So that will be interesting.
Well, it will be interesting. I think the other thing is we're not going to get maybe we can get to it. No, we're not even going to. I'm not even going to touch the next one. So I think that it's very interesting because what I see he's done here is he's going to pick and choose and then decide what he thinks is. Now, he keeps on saying he's going to restore a constitutional America. You know, he's big on that. He's going to do this. So that means anything that he gets rid of, he has to prove why it's unconstitutional. Like, there's got to be something underneath it. If he completely blows by and just willy-nilly cancels stuff, that's going to have its own backlash, because you know the Democrats aren't going to let him get away with not saying, well, so we want President Trump to explain why that was unconstitutional. You know they're going to dog at him.
Yeah, with executive orders, though, there's really nothing they can do to stop him from canceling them. He can just cancel them. They can't. It's an EO. It doesn't. The Congress has no power to say no. You can't cancel that executive order. A lot of those he'll cancel, and we'll never even hear about it.
Well, I don't know. It's
God knows,
you know,
the media is not going to bother with it.
Well. I think that what we're going to see, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to keep up on the list of posting things as we're talking. I think what we're going to see here, though, is he's going to get rid of something. And if the Democrats think they can get any kind of leverage off screaming at the media, screaming to the media, and trying to hold them accountable to why that's unconstitutional, they'll take it just to be wearing away. To try to get either the House or the Senate or both back. I mean, the Senate's very close. I mean, the Republicans only have it by two right now.
Yeah.
So if I was a Democrat, I'd be strategizing what to do to upset the American people to turn the Senate Democratic to try to control Trump.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We got about a little more than halfway through. We'll have to see if we can do better on the TV show.